been working an hour a day on the property business, but the property business is making more than the plumbing business. How many hours are you working on the plumbing business?
60 hours a week.
A lot of people said it would never work in Cardiff.
You know, it's the capital of Wales, so there's no reason why you shouldn't work. I got, you know, two properties booked up until the new year. Just taking on a third now.
How's life changed then over the last sort of 6-12 months?
Just gone mental.
Well, welcome Ian Thomas from Charvel Properties, all the way from sunny Wales. Congratulations on your success. I wanted really in this interview to pick your brains on how you've accumulated financial freedom over the last how many months? When did you start?
8 months.
In the last 8 months, specifically in Wales, because I know most of your properties are in or around Cardiff area, and hopefully be able to pass on some golden nuggets. And we give people that are starting out from a pretty much standing start be able to emulate what you've done. So why don't you start from the beginning? What made you get into property in the first place?
Just looking for something a little bit more passive. Because I'm a self-employed plumber, so it's quite sort of time intensive. If I'm not in work, I'm not earning money.
Yeah.
I am the business basically.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking for something where I can invest in. And property seems to be the number one thing.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of get any passive income and gain sort of generational wealth.
I'm seeing more and more tradespeople as well getting into the property investment, property entrepreneur side of things, because they're out all day, you know, fixing up properties, understand the bricks and mortar side of it.
Yeah.
But being an entrepreneur on the property side of things, you know, it's a bit of a transition. So now then, you've got how many properties?
So we've got three at the moment, just taking on a fourth. So three of those are going to be in Cardiff, and one's in Bath. They all rent the service accommodations.
Nice. And that's enabled your wife to quit her job?
Yeah, so she's just worked her last shift on Friday, just gone. Another big milestone for us. So she's going to come on board and help me out now, hopefully.
And the profit as well that you're making for each property is quite substantial, right? You're making like about $1,000 a month per property, which is huge. And that's more money than most landlords make that own the property.
Yeah.
So you're controlling the property, but you're squeezing the cash flow. And in Cardiff, where a lot of people said it would never work in Cardiff.
Yeah.
But you found that it is working.
Yeah. And that's it. Just took a plunge because, like I said, it's got everything in the area. It's got theatres, stadiums, loads of construction going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's the capital of Wales. So, there's no reason why you shouldn't work.
Yeah.
So I just took a plunge and I got, two properties booked up until the new year. Just taking on a third now. Hopefully get a long-term booking in there.
And I know you've done a little bit of deal selling. You've sold a few deals.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to sell your first few deals?
It was about a month. I was on the phone constantly, just calling and calling to be told no. And it was actually a game at one point. I know two twos on your academy. So you said 300 no's. So I thought, right, that's my target. I'm going to get 300 no's.
Yeah.
And see where we go from there.
So have you ever heard of the book called Go For No?
No, I have heard that phrase before.
Yeah, so it's actually a book. Generally, when you're calling, because if you want to be successful from a standing start in property, you're going to get a lot of rejection, right? You're going to get rejection from landlords, you're going to get rejection from agents, from investors. But the idea is, who can get the most no's? So if you're competing with someone, it's like, whoever gets the most no's, generally speaking, will probably get the most yeses as well. So rather than seeing no as a real bad thing, I mean, like, oh, been rejected, isn't it terrible? It's saying, well, actually, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
I need to get no's in order to get yeses.
That's
I need
what
to.
It was.
Yeah.
It sort of became a game. I had a chart in the back of my diary.
Did you?
Every time I get a no, I was like, yes, another no, another no.
Right.
They were tallying up, and I thought, yes, I'm going to beat the 300.
Yeah.
And I got to about, I think it was 190. And then finally got a yes.
Yeah.
And that yes happened to be 7 apartments. So I went down, done the viewing, put deposits down on all 7. And then I co-sourced and sold them with the twins, the property twins, and Leo. Because I put the deposits down. Obviously, it was time sensitive. So I thought, just co-source with people who've done it before me.
Yeah.
Learn along the way. And then we sold 5 of the apartments. I was going to keep 2 myself. They ended up getting delayed by, I think it was like 2 months. Timescale didn't suit me at the time, so I ended up handing 2 back. So
another thing is, am I right in thinking that you had an accident and you had like a week or two off work?
Yeah, that was when I found the apartment.
What happened?
So I fell off my motorbike and fractured a vertebrae in my back. So it forced me to take some time off work. So I still had the apprentice working, doing jobs in the background. And I was basically just sat there full-time in property. And that's when I had the most success. I was just calling every single day.
Yeah.
And whether it was luck or coincidence, I don't know, but that's when I found those.
Oh, I honestly think that if people worked as hard on their property business as they do on their job, everybody would be a millionaire.
100%.
because the amount of, because it's easy as well to quit, isn't it? You make a couple of calls, get a couple of rejections, say, oh, this isn't really working. But actually, imagine if you hired somebody to be a full-time property entrepreneur working for your company, and they did that. They made a couple of calls a week, got a little bit of rejection, you'd fire them.
Yeah.
So if you take it serious as a business, so you sold those deals. How much did that make?
I made but just over £4,000 off those deals. And then I took on the one in Cardiff, service accommodation. And that was actually just before I found those other deals. I took that one on from Deal Sourcer.
Yeah.
As soon as I took that one on, I found the other deals. And then the next week I took the one on in Bath. And now I'm just going to stick the Cardiff and I've taken on another 3-bed. Within a week of taking that one on, I got a 2.5-month stay there.
Nice.
So that one's just sort of passive now until the new year.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to take on another one in Cardiff now and hopefully get another stay in there.
Yeah.
And just keep the ball rolling.
And also it's November right now. So the fact that you've got money coming in November, because people think of serviced accommodation as just tourists. Who are most of your guests?
Contractors, professionals. At the moment, like the one in Cardiff there's 5 Amazon workers. I'm assuming there's like a delivery company.
Yeah.
And they've just put 5 workers in the area. Just going to be so busy around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And they're just going
to
be...
So talk to me about the business model then. Explain to me, because there's a lot of people watching this that might not even know how you control a property and how it all works. So what is the business model? What value are you bringing to the marketplace and how does it work?
So you've got landlords, they have problems with tenants. Sometimes they'll have tenants coming in every 6 months and then leaving. They trash the properties. If they're not paying bills, they get in trouble getting the tenants out. They got to take them to court and there's lengthy battles in court. But as a company, I'm willing to lease the property for normally 3 to 5 years, pay them guaranteed rent. If I don't pay rent, they can just kick me straight out of the property.
Because you're a commercial tenant.
Because I'm a commercial tenant. So no arguments. You haven't paid rent, off you go. They get their property back, in the same condition that they received the property or better.
Yeah.
But sometimes we will carry out mini refurbs.
Right.
Like for example, the shower broke in Cardiff, being a plumber myself. We went down, bought the new shower, fitted the new shower.
Yeah.
That hasn't cost the landlord a penny. If that was a standard tenant, that might have cost them, £250.
Yeah, which could wipe a month's profit.
Yeah, so they're having no unforeseen sort of bills to pay because I'm maintaining the properties, keeping them really good standard. Because at the end of the day, that's my business. And if that property is not in A1 condition, no guests are going to stay there. So,
do you use the fact that you're a plumber to your advantage to get the deals? Does that help or do you not mention it?
I haven't mentioned it yet because I haven't needed to really.
Because when you just mentioned it then, it sounded really good.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's even bathroom suites, if a property was a really good area and the landlord was willing to negotiate a little bit on rent, I'd be more happy to fit new bathrooms and even boilers. Split the difference on the cost of the boiler.
What type of properties are you renting then? Are these apartments? Are they houses?
So you've got 2 1-bed apartments, 1 3-bed apartment, and I've just taken on a 2-bed house now.
Right. So if I'm a landlord in Cardiff and I own an apartment, 2-bed apartment, what kind of rent typically are you paying? What kind of rent would they be able to get?
2-bed apartment, you're looking at roughly about £1,200.
Okay. And do these have to be, how close do they have to be to the centre? Like what's your sort of catch area?
The 1-bed I've got is about 30 minutes away from the centre.
Okay.
It's got on-street parking outside.
Yeah.
And the 2nd 3-bed I've taken on, that one is... That's literally like a 10-minute walk into the centre.
So the one that's 30 minutes away, has it got stuff near it? Is there like hospitals? Is there things popping? Or is it kind of just in the middle of nowhere?
It's a half hour walk. So it's, it's probably like a 10-minute drive.
Sure. So it's not too far.
Yeah, it's reasonably close.
Yeah. If I'm a landlord and I've got a property, a 2-bed flat, I could rent it for about £1,200 if I wanted to a normal tenant. They'd be on a 6-month AST contract. There's risk that they may not pay rent. And then I'm going to have to evict them. There's risk that they might damage the property. There's risk that something might just break and it's not their fault and I have to pay for it. The boiler, the this, that, the other. What you're offering is you're giving guaranteed rent and you're saying, look, I'll fix it for 3 years or however long. You're taking care of the small maintenance. Yep. So if there's little things that are breaking, you're paying.
Yep.
And you have to pay rent because it's not your home. So you don't have tenants' rights.
Yep.
So from a landlord's perspective, it's quite an easy sell. I'm just wondering why you had to make 180 calls before you got a yes.
I think some landlords are not really aware of what it is. They've probably had bad experiences and it's like bad news travels faster than good news. So I think they're hearing bad stories. Like I heard a story myself where company took on, I think it was like 100 properties nationwide and then they just deserted them and left.
Right.
Well, I think they assume that all companies are out there to do that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, really speaking, this is a business that I'm looking to do long term.
Yeah.
So if I do one bad property, you know, that's going to go back to the agent. The agent's going to say, look, we're not working with him anymore.
Yeah.
So it's obviously going to have a negative effect on me. You know, the property at the end of the day is my business. So I'm going to look after their property like it's my own.
It's interesting though, because there's obviously things that can go wrong. The company could go bust. Yeah. The company could not pay and then get kicked out, and then the landlord could think, never again. But there's also things that go wrong with normal tenants. Yeah. And you don't see landlords generally saying, I'm never renting to a tenant again because I had a bad experience. This is the nature of the business. Things can go wrong. What would you do though if you couldn't rent it out? What would happen? Or are you confident that you can because of the research? What does that look like?
So you do your due diligence beforehand. You check other calendars, check the demand in here. You could even be calling companies, you know, even call local agents to find out if they've got any demand for short-term stays. And then you've got your break clause in place then. So if, you know, you tried everything, it wasn't working, you speak to the landlord, you know, you could come to some sort of agreement, but obviously the contract would have a you know, 3, 6, or 12 month break clause. Even.
Right. So if the property was just absolutely tanking, you'd exercise your break clause. And after, say, 6 months, you'd say, look, I'm really sorry, this isn't working out. Here's your month's notice.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. And then you've probably, maybe you've even lost a little bit of money, but you've learned something. Yeah. But that would not happen if you'd done your market research properly.
Well, that's the funny thing with Cardiff. When you were doing the market research, like everybody's calendars, they looked empty. I thought, why is everybody's calendars looking empty? Right. Sometimes you've got a gut feeling, you know it's going to work. Right. So you've just got to take our plunge sometimes. It's strange because everything you teach us about doing your due diligence, checking the nightly rates, the occupancy rates, you look at Cardiff and you think, it doesn't work, so I'm not going to invest there. If you went off just that.
Is the way that we teach it too strict? Are we too belt and braces?
Possibly.
Or is Cardiff just a little bit of a...
I don't know. I'm still sort of trying to figure out why you look so bad when you do the due diligence, because obviously the way you teach it is the safest way.
Yeah.
Because I've gone in, I've risked my money, and I was willing to lose that money if it didn't work.
How much would you lose? Let's say you got hardly any bookings. It just barely covered the rent and you had to walk away.
It's costing me, the old heads in the one bed, about just over £1,000 a month. Plus obviously furniture, which you can take back out.
Yeah.
Deposits.
It's more time and hassle then.
Yeah.
Because your deposit you get back, your rent that you're paying to the landlord, I mean, unless you've got zero bookings, if you're breaking even, you're not going to lose a massive amount of money, but it's going to be frustrating.
Yeah, like my goal at the beginning was just to get at least 50% occupancy, just to break even. So I'm learning, I'm learning and earning, and if you like.
Yeah.
As long as I wasn't losing money, I was happy. And it went from being like 50% to just like Bath had 100% occupancy in the second month it was live. And then he had a 1 month booking in there. And I was just sort of taking over, like towards Christmas, it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
But Cardiff has just been long stay after long stay and some loads of requests. Like the one bed in Cardiff, I think I could have filled it about 4 times.
Jeez.
So at that point then you think, right, I need another property.
Yes.
So that's why I thought, I'm going to go bigger to see if a 3-bed works. I know what 1-bed works. But obviously on the bigger properties, you make more profit. Like the 3-bed now I'm making, well, because it's got a long-term stay, about £1,800 a month. Net profit on that one.
Damn, bro.
Whereas
1,800 profit?
Yeah.
That's a full-time salary.
Yeah, just off one property.
And how much did you have to put down?
I paid a sourcing fee on that one. So I paid 3,000 sourcing fee.
Sure.
1,500 rent, and I think it was 1,600 deposit.
So do you think Cardiff is a bit untapped?
I think so. It definitely works. I know it works. It's proven.
Why did you agree as well to come and share your story? Because some people might say, I get people say this to me all the time, Samuel, why are you doing YouTube videos telling everybody what you're doing? Because you're just going to create competition. That's something that I get quite a lot. And I've got my own reasons. Namely, I don't believe in competition. I believe in collaboration.
Yeah.
But what was the reason that you agreed to come and sort of share and answer all these questions about what you're doing in Cardiff?
Just to share and give back, because at the beginning, I had so much help. Like if people hadn't shared their knowledge with me, I wouldn't have the long-term stays. Like me speaking to Adam Hindley, he shared loads of tips.
Yeah.
I speak a lot with the twins. Louis helped me loads with the Vivo. Like
Obviously
Gav has helped me loads with the Vivo.
Yeah. And these are all people that are on the academy. Yeah. They've done winners on a Wednesday.
Like I had a great few tips off Harrison Crick, off Tershi.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's helped me.
Yeah.
So then you just pass our knowledge on to the, you know, to the new sort of academy members. It's just about passing it on and helping each other up, basically.
And it's a much better way to be, isn't it? If everyone's pulling each other up, you know, the story, you've probably heard me mention it before, but it's a story about 5 crabs in a bucket.
Yeah.
And every time one of the crabs goes to get out the bucket, the other 4 pull it down because they don't want that one to escape. They want to escape. But then because they're all pulling each other down, they all die in the bucket. A lot of environments are like that in work, corporate, everyone's pulling each other down.
100%.
Whereas what we've created with the academy is a community where everybody's pulling everybody up.
Yeah.
And everybody gets to the top. And it's not about competition. It's just about collaborating. Like, let's say there might be a bunch of people that say, I want to get into Cardiff now. But then you end up partnering or selling deals to the people that you put Cardiff on the map for.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, I took on the 3-bed and there was another 2 apartments in the same block.
Yeah.
So I worked with the deal sourcer. They'd taken my deal off and sold 2 deals to another 2 investors from the academy.
Wow.
And I've helped them get up and running. And one of them's got a long-term stay straight away. And the other one, I think, has got a 1 or 2 week booking. Obviously, he's like...
Nice. How important is network?
That's everything. If you don't know something, somebody in your network will. Like, you can go in the academy group chat. You can type any question you want about property. I'm not even about property, about most things in general. You can type something and somebody will know the answer.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, I think network's important. I think having a strong team and having peers around you, trying to be successful in anything, any new avenue, when you've not got people around you doing the same thing, it's lonely and it's tough and it's hard.
100%. When you see other people doing it before you, you just sort of follow in their footsteps. Yeah. Like on Instagram now, I'm doing, you know, Instagram reels and things like that. Well, that's not me. When I first started, it was like, oh, are my friends going to rip me a new one? And I was like, but I thought, other people are doing it. They're successful, so I'm just going to follow in their footsteps and see how it goes. And to be fair, all my friends have been quite supportive.
That's good.
None of them have ripped me down. So
that's good. You mentioned as well that part of the reason for wanting to get into property was your mum.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, like... when they were early 20s, my parents built their own house. Total build cost and everything was in 55,000. And the property is now worth just under 400,000. So I've seen with my own eyes how, property can sort of give you security.
Yeah.
Because 2 years later, my father got diagnosed with the brain tumor. He sadly passed away 15 years after that. And he always said to my mother, you've always got the house. So, like, my mother's on her own now. She's fostered children for the last 10 years. And it's quite a big property. And it's allowed her to foster the children, give them a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's looking to downsize. And she's got all that equity in the property. So she can buy a property. I'm hoping that I can help her invest the rest of the money to create sort of financial freedom for my mother as well.
Yeah.
So, I've seen with my own eyes what property can give you in the form of sort of stability as well. And
yeah, that's important. And I think that property ultimately... we know over time it doubles on average. I recently was looking at the stats. I went back over 100 years and pretty much consistently every 10 years it doubled in value. And it's just like, and people say, oh, but it's not going to be the next 10. Well, they said that 10 years ago and they said that 10 years ago.
History repeats itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. And having the skills to be able to make money in property, you can help family and you can work with people that have got equity. Yeah. So what would you say is the hardest bit about being a property entrepreneur?
At the moment for me, it's time. Because I got 2 young children and I feel like I'm giving up time with my children at the moment to invest into this. But I know it's for a greater cause, if you know what I mean. So I'm looking to, for the next year or two now, put everything I can into this, to doing property, get financially free, hopefully sort of systemize my plumbing heating business, which is going to give me more time, back with my family.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of sacrificing a bit of time now to gain a lot more time in the future.
Yeah.
And those are skills hopefully I can pass on to my children. And then, that's just going to go on for generations and generations, hopefully.
Yeah, but the kind of money that you're making from your rent-to-rent properties, like, honestly, like, $1,800 on one property and then you've got the others.
Yeah.
That's enough money for most people to just say, I'm just going to put my feet up and I'm going to retire right now. You're not. You're continuing to build. You've got kids and you want to leave a legacy. What's the strongest reason for your drive right now, then?
I think it's just our freedom. It's not so much money. I'm quite happy with the lifestyle I've got. I don't want any more... sort of materialistic things. I just want more time. I want everything I've got, but without spending my time to get it.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah.
And that's financial freedom.
Yeah. Some people might think, oh, that's lazy. You should be working, but I'm working harder now than I've ever worked before. I've got the property and the plumbing. Obviously, with the winter, with the plumbing heating, it's just gone crazy. So I'm just working every hour under the sun at the moment.
Yeah.
But I know it's for freedom, in the future. It's not just for money.
Yeah.
Which obviously is a greater goal than just money.
What does freedom mean to you then?
Go on holidays a couple of times a year with the family, work when I want to, not because I have to.
Yeah.
Not worrying about bills going out. Just basically living the life I'm living now. We go on holidays and things now, but I spend a lot of my time working. I'm working till late in the night sometimes, doing quotes, sending invoices, speaking to customers, and it's just a lot of stress. So if I can get the lifestyle I've got now, but without having to put the hours and hours in and stress. Yeah. That's, you know, that's the dream for me, really.
How's life changed then over the last sort of 6-12 months?
It's just gone mental. it's just crazy. You know, there's just not a spare hour between running, plumbing and heating and then doing everything with the property side of it. Like at the moment, my living room has got 4 mattresses in the middle of the living room.
Your wife's quit work now, though.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How does she feel about that?
Yeah, I think she's quite excited, I think, to get involved now. You know, obviously, she's been helping me furnish the properties and things, but you know, I think we start looking to get on the systems now, like on Avivo, and just get it sort of up
on the property side of the business then. Where does most of your time go? Is your time going in finding new deals and wanting to grow, or is it managing the properties that you've got?
I don't spend a lot of time managing the properties with the full term, you know, the long term stays. Bath is a bit more sort of intensive because it's like two nights. I did have a 1 month stay in here, but that's come to an end now. So it's back, you know, it's back being like, you know, 2 or 3 nights at a time. So a lot of communication with guests, with things like that, the cleaner. But yeah, it's just things in general, obviously making sure payments are coming in, and then furnishing the properties is quite time intensive.
Yeah, but that's something that you do once.
Yeah.
As you grow. When you take on a new property, how many hours would you say on the property business you're working right now a week? And what's the split? What's the breakdown at that time?
Maybe 1 hour a day.
An hour a day on the whole property business?
Yeah, I think so. I normally get home about, I don't know, 6 o'clock.
So most of your work then is on your plumbing business? Then?
Yeah.
So that's where majority of the work is. But you don't want to quit that just yet because you're still making decent money doing it.
Yeah, that's it. I need to try.
Do you make systemize. More money on the property business or on the plumbing business right now?
Last month, probably property business.
Hold on a minute. Hang on a minute, bro. So you're working an hour a day on the property business.
It sounds mad.
But the property business is making more than the plumbing business. How many hours are you working on the plumbing business?
Way too many. 60 hours a week.
How do you make sense of that?
It's the first time I thought about it.
do you think you might potentially need to do property full time?
Possibly.
And that's not including the sourcing and stuff. That's just the rent to rents. Bro, that's pretty amazing. What's more passive?
Oh, property.
Weren't you on holiday recently as well? Tell me that story.
Yeah, so we went away with my family on a two-week holiday. And while I was there, obviously money was being transferred into my account from previous days.
Yeah.
And then it was receiving bookings. And obviously I had guests in the apartments at the time. And I think I calculated, it was like I received £2,800 worth of bookings. Actually, into my account, there was like £3,200 worth transferred in.
Yeah.
And then while I was away, those 2 weeks, they generated another like £3,000 worth of income.
And you were on holiday?
Yeah, and I was just like, I was going back to him. I was like, oh, we got another booking.
And then man, you're still a bit early into the journey. You're 8 months in, right? But like, I reckon in a year's time, bro, can you imagine? What would be your biggest piece of advice for someone starting out that wants to be able to make more money in an hour a day than they do on their full-time business or their full-time job? What would be your tips to starting out?
Just put the work in. You've got to put the time in. I think you can't expect to just join up in the academy and everything just land on your lap.
Yeah.
The knowledge is there, the network is there, you know, your power team, everything is there for you, but you've got to put in the work. Yeah. If you're not willing to put in the work and have that, you know, that work ethic, you're going to fail. It doesn't matter what you do, who's in front of you. If you're not willing to work, you are going to fail. But if you are willing to work, you've got everything at your fingertips to help you succeed.
Just talk a little bit about the academy, what you get and how it's helped you.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Obviously, went to the £1 course first.
Yeah.
Then joined up to the advanced training. And I sort of knew in my mind that I was going to join up the academy because once that's just the type of person I am. Once I'm in something, that's it. I'm in and full on with it. My mother actually said to me before I came for the second order training, right, when you go up now, don't go spending no more money. I think she was convinced it was like a scam and just like a pyramid sort of system. Yeah. So I went up, obviously signed up to the academy, spoke to my wife first actually. And she said, look, you know, if you think you can do it, just go for it. And that was all I needed basically. And just joined up the academy and I haven't looked back. You know, it's unbelievable, the network. Like I've got people all over the country, you know, friends like Jordan from Swansea, for argument's sake. Didn't know Jordan before the academy and I always speak to him every day, basically. He's heavily into BRRs. Obviously, I've gone into the, you know, the rent to SA model. So we're just passing things back and forth, working with each other. I'm actually working on a project with Narelle from the academy at the moment. She's doing a BRR in Bridgend.
Nice.
So I'm actually doing the plumbing and heating there.
Nice.
So it's just opened up doors that wouldn't have been possible without joining the academy, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people there to help you, give you advice. And it's just unbelievable.
What's your wife sort of saying then? Is she like buzzing right now?
I think she's excited to get involved now, and I'm obviously excited for it to be a part of it as well, so we can go on the journey together. No?
Are you planning on doing buy, refurbish, refinance, like flips and BRRs in Cardiff?
Where I'm from in the Rhondda, properties are really cheap. It's a great area for BRRs. It's a university about 20 minutes away, so I may jump into like BRR to HMO. Really on
the rules are all a bit different, aren't they, in Wales?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about, you probably do, because you're from Wales, but they've scrapped ASTs, haven't they? AST contracts.
Yeah.
And they've got a whole new different type of tenancy. So if you're investing in Wales, I mean, to be honest, even in England, you go from council to council and the rules are different. You might have Article 4 in an area, or you might have licensing rules might be different.
Yeah.
So it's really important to make sure that you go over, and this is what part of what we do on the advanced training, which is going over the rules, the regulations, making sure people are fully aware of them. Yeah. Which I think is important, because it's all good making money, but you want to be making sure that you're also doing everything absolutely kosher.
Yeah, that's it. But it's like local to me now, they've upgraded all the train lines. So every like 10 minutes, there's going to be trains going straight into Cardiff.
Nice.
I think pretty much the whole of Wales, it's difficult to get any sort of solid information on it. But I spoke to a guy in my local area with planning. He said, basically, you need planning. There is no permitted development rights within Wales. You need planning for everything. But like within those, like the Article 4 area, if you want to call it, there's sort of conservation areas, but there's a nice area by me. You can come just outside of that. And basically, it's just, he said that if you want a HMO, there's no reason why they wouldn't allow a HMO or an SA, because, you know, Wales is looking to promote obviously tourism.
Yeah.
And good. He basically said you're 99.9% guaranteed to get, you know, sort of planning, on HMO. Yeah.
Nice. And that's, again, local contacts are important.
Yeah.
And just studying.
One of my plumbing customers.
Yeah, or was it one of your plumbing customers? And that's why I think as well, it makes sense to not be super scattergun. It's easy when you first start in property to be looking at properties in, in London and Birmingham and Liverpool and Grimsby, and you're just running around. But I think it's really important to just master your area and really understand the market and the rules of an area. What's next then for you, Ian? What's the plan over the next 8 months? You've killed it over the last eight. You're basically financially free, making thousands of pounds every month, almost passive coming in. What's next?
So my plan, I want to hit that 10k a month target from like not so much deal selling, because deal selling I find is quite intense time-wise. You're constantly back and forth investors.
Yeah.
Like it's great to make sort of quick cash flow. But my main goal is to get sort of cash flow in, like rent to SAs. I want to get up to £10,000 a month from that. And then I'm going to look to start buying properties and then replacing the rent to SAs, you know, as they come to the end of the contracts, with my own sort of assets.
Yes.
To create that 10k cash flow.
That's great. What a great plan.
That's the plan.
So going from a plumber, making a, you know, okay living, making a decent living, but then transitioning into being a property entrepreneur. And then from that, a property owner and investor. It's a great plan, and you must be very proud of yourself. I don't know, do you ever just pinch yourself or look back or when you see the money coming in and just think, damn.
It's when I sit down and actually look at the figures, I think, no, I'm doing it. It's actually working.
Yeah.
Like obviously to be asked to come on Winners on a Wednesday, that's a massive milestone. And like I said, when you first asked, I was like, oh no, I don't feel ready. But then when I thought about it, I thought, hang on now, you've come from there to where you are now. You are actually doing it. And it's just mind-blowing. It's like you say, you've got to pinch yourself sometimes.
It's awesome. Well, you should be really proud. What would you say would be your number one piece of advice to people listening to this before we wrap up?
Just get some mentors. If you're thinking about getting into property, don't just think there's one strategy, the BRR strategy. There's so many different ways to earn money in property. Get involved. Just get some mentors. Even if you're not going to pay for courses, just speak to people in your local area, go to networking events, and just get knowledge off people around you to help you on your journey.
Well, the crash course is £1.
Yeah.
Which is where it all started for you. And we have a slogan, which is it all starts at the crash course. What was your experience when you came to the crash course?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It's just a great environment to be in. You know, you give little tips and things along the way, and you just know that that's the route they want to go down. Yeah. I know some people will go and they might not go on to the academy, or they might not go to the advanced training, but even just that £1, you learn so much in that one day. That's probably enough just to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. It is a crash course.
Well, what have you got to lose? It's £1.
Yeah. There we go. Well, mate, massive respect. Well done. And I look forward to see you continuing to absolutely burn.
Thank you very much.
And if you've not been to the £1 Property Investors Crash Course yet, where I condense everything there is to know about property and push it all into a one-day seminar, come and meet me. Let's spend the day together. I'll leave a link in the description, and I look forward to seeing you smash it also in property.